Dear Father, we are so thankful that you've given us another day to serve you, to honor you, to praise you, to bless you, to live for you. For Father, there's so many that don't have this opportunity that you've given to us. Wish they did, but unable to now, that you call them in. Father, we are so thankful that you've given us life and you've given us to us abundantly. And we come to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, with a praise in our hearts because of who you are and how much you love us. Thank you, Father, for your endless love. Thank you, Father, for the agape love that you share with us each and every second of the day, that you don't have to. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the creator of all things. Every single thing that has life, you have given it to it, Father. And Lord, you are the creator of us. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you, and we come humbly before your throne of thanksgiving, Lord, to give you glory and honor. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name. Thank you for your faithfulness toward us. Thank you for the love that you have covered and shared us. And not only us, Father, but those who we love as well, and our neighbors, Lord, those who are just and those who are unjust. You have allowed your sun to shine and your rain to fall and your love to be there in their lives, Lord, even though they may not acknowledge you, Father. We pray for the lost as well, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'd call them into your life as you called each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, we ask right now that you would cleanse each and every one of us now and those that may be listening at a later time of all unrighteousness. That, Lord, everything that will take place today will be a pleasing, sweet aroma in your nostrils. Lord, it will please you. And, Lord, you would allow your Holy Spirit to fill this place right now in our hearts. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take over every aspect of this service. That, Lord, you would just give Jeanette the wisdom and the knowledge that you wanted to have to share your word to us in a way, Lord, that we've never heard before. Then, Lord, please allow us to have ears to hear in a way that we've never heard before, and our hearts to be open and just so willing to just absorb it all, Lord God, so that, Lord, we can follow you in a way that would truly bring you honor and praise and glory. Lord, we thank you for this time. We ask that you'd bless Alexandra. We thank you for bringing our sister back to us, Father. The Lord, you've allowed her to travel, to visit relatives, her mom and others, Lord God, and you brought her back home again to be a part of your service today. Lord, fill her with the knowledge. Fill Alexandra with the wisdom. Give her clarity of speech, Lord. Give her everything she needs that she brings forth your word and as she reads it, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would let the anointing fall afresh and anew on Alexandra and all that is on the call. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you and anticipate, Lord, what you're going to do. Lord, we're coming to you, Father, because we need you, Lord. We're coming, Father, just thanking you, Lord, and just acknowledging that, Lord, we need you. So, Lord, bless us today. Pour out your blessings upon us. Pour out your wisdom into us, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and we're faithfully, Lord, to hear all that you have us to hear. So, Lord, open our ears, Lord. Our heart, mind, and soul. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
So we've been in Acts, I think, since October, I think.
Really?
Or further back.
It hasn't seemed that long.
And it's been quite a journey, following Paul and learning from his outstanding example. Not that he did everything right, but he was an example to us as we should be to one another. That even if we have a problem or disagreement or we'll later see how he rectifies it. He doesn't stay there. And he continuously keeps bringing the gospel, no matter what circumstances he's found himself in. He had been warned not to go to Jerusalem because there were visions that people were having and of different apostles were having dreams that if he goes there, he's not coming back. And yet he chose to go. So what happened in Jerusalem? He found himself arrested. He found himself arrested and brought before Felix, and for 2 years he was in chains there. And finally he's before Festus, and they've decided last week that they're going to send him on to Rome since he claimed to be a Roman citizen. And why was he claiming that? Because he knew better than allow them to send him back to Jerusalem. That would be a problem. He knew that they would lay wait for him in Jerusalem and try to kill him. Though the Jews were pressing the Romans to, you know, have him sent back to Jerusalem so they could kill him. But Paul pulled the I'm a Roman card, and it worked, and he's being sent on to Rome, and that's where we're starting today on chapter 27 of Acts. Let's go.
All right, sounds good. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering the ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus?
Second. I want us to get a fair understanding that Genesis, or the Bible, is an account of the Jewish people. It's Jewish history. So you can't be surprised when we see that he goes to Italy. There were Italians. There was Europe. There was Asia. There was Minor Asia. The world was going on. It isn't this narrow few people that we're reading about. That's just Jewish history. It seems like I shouldn't have to say that, but I think sometimes we lose sight of it. And then we're shocked when we find out, oh, the world has been going on, you know, this has happened and that's happened. And it all ties together, but this is Jewish history. So off to Italy they go.
Thank you for that clarification. Aristarchus, Macedonium of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we sailed over the sea, which is of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There, the centurion found Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on a board. Continue.
Continue.
When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Sindes, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Solomon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter, and the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there." Continue.
I want to put something up here. Now, Paul is on this journey, and he's going to Rome, and he's been put on this Alexandrian ship, and it's the wrong time of year to be traveling in that region. it's already too late in the year to try to sail. But they're trying to get where they're trying to go, and as many fishermen do, whether it's going out to sea on a day that they should not, that everything in you tells you don't do this, but they're bound to, you know, accomplish their goal, and they feel like they've seen bad weather before, they'll be all right. Paul, I want to say this, happens to be on this ship. We are not exempt. The perils of living on earth.
Amen.
We're not exempt. Sometimes we think, well, if we're on the boat or on the ship, then suddenly I expect to have fine weather in the middle of winter. Mm-hmm. Now, can God provide mm-hmm. that? Of course.
Sure.
But most of the time, we have to work with the confinements of earth. We have to use wisdom. We've been given the ability to recognize when a storm is coming or when it's not wise to go traveling. We need to use it. Don't expect God to always be giving you personal miracles. We're seeing right here, no, it's bad weather. It's bad weather for anybody who insists on sailing, and that puts Paul in a situation. Now, Paul perceives this is not a good time to be doing this, but where they had poured it isn't a great place to have to go through winter either. There's food shortages there. It's very, very cold, very bad weather there. So the people that are running the ship, the helmsman, he says, no, we can make this. Let's go on. Paul says this can cost people their lives. This is not a good idea. But the people in charge decide, you know what, actually, prisoner Paul, you're not the captain. Thank you for your advice. We're going to go talk about it, and we're going to go on anyway. Keep going.
When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose, called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of the island called Clada, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Cyprus sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because the next day they lightened the ship, on the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempests beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Continue.
So I want to get the visual here of what is taking place. This storm has gotten so bad that they are trying to tie the boat down, but that's a problem. It's been dark for many days, no light. Now, I'm not saying that it's not daylight, but the storm is covering the stars, it's the sun. It's a bad situation. Their boat is being tossed back and forth, and it's perilous now. So the very thing sometimes when we're in a hurry that we're trying to save may be the very thing we lose.
Ooh, preach.
Now the helmsman, the captain, those in charge of the boat, they are throwing the cargo into the ocean, trying to lighten up the boat.
Mm-hmm.
The very thing they were carrying, trying to get and make their money, because you know what's driving this again is money.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to be fortunate to come out with their lives.
Wow.
Even the tackle for the ship, they're now throwing that overboard. Imagine what's what that must be like in that kind of situation in the ocean. And the sad part of it is because of the darkness and because of the terrible conditions, it doesn't look like anybody's going to rescue them. Who can possibly rescue them? They can't come out in that weather to come get you. And they don't even know you're out there anymore. The storm is so bad, any ship that was out there is probably already gone. So what do you say? Keep going.
But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" Continue.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
This is the beauty of this story. It matters when God's child is on board.
Mm-hmm.
It matters when God's child is on board. And that says to us today that no matter what is coming our way, God will preserve you to be able to do what he's called you to do. Paul has to go to Rome. He's got a purpose there to fulfill. And God knows he's got a purpose for Paul. It's God's purpose. He will sustain you no matter how bad things look. Paul is visited or allowed to see an angel that's traveling with him that lets him know everybody will not lose their lives. Not one person is going to lose their lives, but we are going to lose this ship. And then he's able to bring encouragement because there's something different. There should be something different when God is in you. This shouldn't be the same as unbelievers who have no hope. God speaks to his children. He protects his children. And if that's you, then even though the plane is in trouble, God's with you. And then he speaks, and then he's beginning to reach the people on the ship that should have listened to Paul in the first place. Because Paul knows the living God, but these people don't. But what a beautiful, beautiful testament of how God will preserve us and speak peace in the midst of the tempest.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Paul spoke earlier and said this can cost people their lives. Now the Lord is saying, yes, Paul, it can. They went on, but it's not going to. You're going to be fine. You have work to do. What a beautiful thing when you are connected to the Almighty God and he can talk to you and walk with you and guide you and direct you and speak peace when you need to hear peace. When you're unsure, he can bring that assurance that he's with you. That's something that the world doesn't have. That's something that you're sitting on. Share it. Keep going.
Amen.
Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for a day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off.
Let me stop right there for a second. Wow. I want you to remember, they've already lost their sails. They are just playing adrift. They've been adrift for days. So they're just at the mercy now of the elements and of God. So they're drifting like a ship without a sail, which is what happens to a lot of us without God, or those of us who know the Lord but don't choose to yield to Him. Eventually, you find yourself caught up in whatever the world is offering.
Amen.
Maybe today is a good day. Maybe it's not. But without anybody at the helm, without anybody able to steer this ship, it's a problem. Because wherever you end up, you end up. That's what happens when we leave the safety of God's hands.
Preach.
A lot of us take that lightly, and we should not. We want to serve God at a certain point in our life because right now that's working for me because I can see the need. But I've had people tell me, oh, I don't really see that it's relevant anymore. In other words, I've got this. And I want to live my life the way I want to live my life without regard to God. Mm. Well, then you're saying that you are comfortable not being in His hands. Mm. You got it better. You know best. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to give up this or give up that. And is God asking you to give up this and give up that? Eventually, His Spirit will get tired of your sin. His Spirit within you will get tired of your sin. So He'll begin to tell you, you know what? Don't really want to go there anymore. Don't really want to do that anymore. Don't want to drink this anymore. Don't want to ingest this anymore. Don't want to do this. Don't want to do that. But it comes from His Spirit.
Yes.
His Spirit will begin to take the things of this world and make them not so appealing. Mm. But a lot of us, we want to be where we are, and we want God to, you know, back off.
Come on, we need you.
Right. We want a handout, not so much His hand.
Mm.
We want a handout, not so much His hand. We don't want to take His hand and be guided by Him. We just want to have our hand out when we need something. It is amazing to me how much God tolerates that kind of relationship from His children for quite some time. And if your children treated you that way, I wonder how long you'd tolerate it. They don't ever want to take your advice. They don't ever want to learn from the things that you've already had to learn, sometimes the hard way. But when they need something, all of a sudden you're a mom? All of a sudden your dad? Well, a dad is more than just somebody to get stuff from.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing."
Why were they not eating?
They didn't have the means.
14 days, no food? Why were they not eating?
Well, the Holy Spirit was sustaining them because 11 days you die.
I think when they say 14 days without food, they mean without even a decent meal. Eating in very tiny increments. Remember their circumstances. They are lost at sea. They're in a storm. They've had to throw most of everything overboard. And they don't know how long this is going to go on. They've already been out there 2 weeks. So you can't gobble up your resources when you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah.
So they're rationing such small rations that's equivalent to not eating. And now they're getting weaker and weaker. But now Paul has heard from the Lord. And he's telling them, go ahead and eat. Isn't that a beautiful thing? But it's something that we can learn from there, is that if you're in tight circumstances, that's not the time to be spending, is it?
No.
If we're in a tight circumstance and we don't know when that circumstance is going to change or if it's going to change, then we are called to be a good steward with the little bit we do have.
Yeah.
Until God steps in and says something different. Okay, keep going.
Verse 34. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Wow. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Ooh, hallelujah. When it was day, they did not recognize the land. Yes? Go ahead.
I want to speak on that for a minute. Do you think, now you've got 270 plus men on this ship, and Paul, some dude in chains, some guy that's, you know, a prisoner, starts telling people, go ahead and eat, and he's the first one to take the bread, break it, start eating, and they all start eating, and they're all encouraged. How do you think that is?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit can give hope to the faint of heart. They don't even understand, what is it about when I talk to you that I feel better? I came really burdened, but I left lifted. I want to encourage those of you who are filled with His Spirit that use your mouth. When the Lord is operating through you, you have to cooperate. Paul could have said, well, I know no one's going to get hurt, so I'm just going to go in a corner and eat some bread. No one will notice. I know that we're going to be fine in a day or two. We're going to be all on solid ground, so I know we can eat, but I'm not going to bother to tell them, because when I told them not to take this trip in the first place, they weren't even listening to me. What if Paul took that position and stopped talking because he's decided they won't hear him anymore? How many times have we been challenged to not say it again because we figure, I already said that? My hand couldn't be raised higher, because that is me all day long. I feel like I said it. I said it again. You don't listen, so I'm not going to talk. I'm done talking. Why am I going to say it again? I already said it. But sometimes when you're ministering to people, they have to go through some things. And when they've gone through just about enough, oh, they're listening now. Don't grow weary in encouraging people. Don't grow weary in speaking truth. Keep Keep going.
When it was day, I'm sorry, verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Amen.
Here again, Paul, in whatever circumstances, remember in the word he says, all things work together, Romans 28,
yes.
All things work together. There's no limitation on the word all. Things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those who are called, Paul called, according to his purpose. Each one of you on this call is called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for you. And he will see to it that it comes to completion. Now look where Paul has found himself. And yet they're going to kill the prisoners because we don't want them to escape. But what? But because Paul was on board, they changed their mind. The centurion that was put in charge of Paul's safety said, no, we're not killing prisoners, not today. Look at the difference your presence can make in a situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're not even aware of it, but trust. Your physical presence in the situation changes the atmosphere. It changed the outcome for all of the other prisoners on that boat. They would have been otherwise killed. But because God in you is something being preserved, it's affecting everything around you. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah. If we could only see ourselves the way God sees you. Mm-hmm. If you could see yourself as if looking down, you would see the circumstances and how much change you can bring just by being the you with God in you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we often feel powerless.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're like, well, the world's so dark. My job is so dead. Nobody on my job is safe. I just go in and come out. I just mind my own business. What kind of, who do you think you are? Or do you not realize that when you go to work, the Lord is going with you, in you? Imagine what kind of a difference that can make when we begin to see ourselves as what God has created us to be. And then all of the promises, all things work together for the good of those, that no matter what circumstances you're in, he's using it for a divine purpose. Maybe he's saving other people's lives just because you're there. Maybe he has someone there that you can minister to today. Maybe somebody is in a bad situation, they want to get out, and they're watching you. There's no word said. You just went to work and came home. You went to work and came home.
Yeah.
But somebody's watching. Somebody's being changed because Jesus is in the house.
Come on.
How could you be that close to the Spirit of God and something isn't happening. Keep going.
Verse 28. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us usually unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom thou he has escaped the sea. Yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Continue.
So let's get the visual. Where these, yeah. they're coming out of the water. Some of them have had to hold on to pieces of the ship that has broken off. They're, you know, and some undoubtedly can't swim, but they're still away. God gets them safely to the shore by floating on wood. It's cold. It's wet. Rain is pouring down. And the natives of that island come out and greet them with unprecedented kindness.
Mm.
What a beautiful thing when people act like people.
Yes, amen.
Like, kindle a fire because these men are cold and wet. And Paul, a scorpion, comes out of the fire and attaches to his hand. Immediately, and this is how people are. As soon as you see something bad happen to somebody, a lot of times, those of us who struggle with judgmentalness will start saying, well, they must have done something to deserve it. He must be a murderer. He escaped the sea, but look at this. He can't escape a scorpion. But Paul comes out unscathed. Then we go to the other extreme. Well, he's made lots of money. He's doing real well. He must have God's favor. He's a god. So he went from a murderer to a god.
Right.
That it doesn't teach you anything else. It should teach you to stop making snap judgments about people according to the immediate circumstances you might see them in.
Yeah.
You don't know enough about it. So don't say, oh, because this person has this or doesn't have that they must have. You don't know anything about their lives. And you don't know that even they may have done everything right, but God is teaching them a lesson right now. Not a lesson because they have done something wrong, a lesson so that they can understand how to be in all circumstances. A lot of times, as we've seen throughout the scriptures, how people will honor those who have money and not want to honor those who don't. We think highly of those who have, and we disregard people who have not. Sometimes God is only teaching them something, and he's trying to teach you something too. He's trying to teach you that when you have that kind of regard for those with and treat the poor man differently, you got to get that straight, because God is no respecter of persons. And he doesn't expect us to be. And you might be entertaining an angel. This might be an opportunity for you to do the right thing. And we all, at different points in our life, have to experience have and have not. Otherwise, you'll have no compassion. If you've always had, then you'll have no compassion for those who have not, because you won't understand it. You've never had to budget. You've never had to do any of that. And then those who have had not often will get a chance before they close their eyes to have. Now it's their test to see if they'll be generous and remember what it was like when they had not. Mm-hmm. You see, the Lord is dealing with us all in different places in our walks.
Yeah.
Make sure we don't think that we can, you know, analyze somebody or get into their mix, because then you're going to be guilty of judging God's servant. And he tells us, don't do that. Who are you to judge my servant, says the Lord? And you don't know how the story is going to end. Sometimes you'll be up in this life, sometimes you'll be down. And God is teaching you something all the way through all of it. And it's not just you he's teaching.
Amen.
He's teaching the people around you. Okay.
In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So this was done. The rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Continue.
I don't want to skip over this because it's so important. These people welcomed strangers. They don't know what kind of people these Romans could be. They could come there trying to kill them or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were shipwrecked. They saw a need, and they met the need. Now look at God. These are heathen people. These are people who don't know God. But they did the right thing. And now, look at what God is doing for them. Healing their sick. It's a beautiful thing. When we do the right thing, you'll be surprised what right thing might be coming back to you. Those people could have said, well, you know, it's the time of year where, you know, food is scarce, and ain't nobody told them to ride their ship up in here in the first place. And we don't have food to be given away, and we're not coming out there in the rain trying to meet their needs. I'm staying in my nice warm house. That's their problem. But for the person who had disease or was blind or was crippled and was healed, what a small price to pay. Be nice. Be nice. Even if you can look at these people and say, everything went overboard. They don't have anything to pay us with. They don't have anything. What's the phrase? What's in it for me?
Right.
They didn't even consider. It's obvious there's nothing in it for them. Everything they have, they're shipwrecked. But little did they know that there was a diamond on board.
Mm.
That God had his spirit on board. And now they're leaving. They're experiencing what God could do in their lives. Next thing you know, they're being healed of diseases that they would have lived and died with. What a blessing for this people that the ship landed where it did. And then what a blessing for the people that they did the right thing by people they did not know.
Yes.
Another message for us in that. You don't have to know somebody to see a need and help.
Amen.
They don't have to look like you. They don't have to speak your language for you to see a need and help. And you never know how God is going to honor that good deed.
Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 11, after 3 months we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren. We're invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and 3 inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome...
Who are these brethren that are meeting them? Who are these brethren that are meeting them?
Some Christians from Rome.
Christians. And where are these Christians coming from?
Rome.
How are there Christians in Rome? Paul is reaping the benefit of the seeds he had sown. Isn't that beautiful? You never know when God may bring you back that way again. But Paul had sown seeds, so there's pockets of God's people now that would not have been there had they not been spread out, the apostles, and spread these seeds.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Now there's pockets of them everywhere. It's getting to that point. You never know when seeds that you plant will come back.
Mm.
You'll never know when you might need to partake in that harvest. A lot of times we just plant seeds and we never think that we'll even see those people again, and perhaps you won't. But look at what God has done. He's taken the seeds that Paul planted and he's made light posts. Light posts. So as he gets to Rome, he's being treated with kindness and there's those there to greet him. What a blessing. What a blessing that Paul did what Paul was supposed to do. What a blessing that Paul kept talking when people told him to shut up. What a blessing that Paul stood his ground when he was being urged to abandon this.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 16. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Verse 17. And as it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you, to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Verse 21. Then they said to him, We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. Continue.
So Paul is already anticipating that he's going to have a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out, actually, all those who are following you around throwing rocks, they're not here. We haven't even heard so much as a letter concerning it.
Yeah.
So the Lord is giving him a clean slate to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them."
Hold on a second, right? Here we have Paul again, and I'm going to say this because I think we have people, it's not so uncommon. Do you see that Paul just keeps trying to minister to the Jews?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and yet he keeps, what did he do? Call the Jewish leaders.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps defaulting back to what he's comfortable with for starters, because he was once a Jewish leader.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we want to minister to those that we're comfortable with, but he's been called to the Gentiles, and he keeps getting the same response from Jews everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As Isaiah said that it would be. They were not going to hear, they were not going to see, they were not going to understand. They were not going to change their heart, and yet Paul keeps reaching out to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes keep doing that with people in our lives. We just keep reaching out, reaching out, reaching out, and we spend a lot of time reaching out to one person when there's multitudes of Gentiles all around you that would gladly receive the word. Go ahead, finish up.
Sure. Verse 28. "Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We just finished up the book of Acts, and that was, to me, a very, very exciting book and telling. And look where Paul is now.
Mm-hmm.
From chains to his own rented house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And able to continue to teach and bring God's word. Oh, did I say again, to the Gentiles?
Yes.
His purpose is being fulfilled, and the Lord has made him quite comfortable. Other prisoners had to go back to jail, but Paul, they put in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has a way of granting his people unexplained favor.
Preach. Amen.
Expect that in your life.
Yes.
The favor of God will be on your life if you're following him.
Mm-hmm.
I expect favor. And you should too. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Thank you for so much reading today, and everybody that's on the call. And Tammy, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, it's just an honor and to be able to come to you, to be able to learn from you directly, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for just allowing us to be at the here at this time. We thank you for speaking through Jeanette, Lord. We thank you for all that, just the insight in that, the wisdom and that you give us through these your written word, which is not just a story, Lord. It's you, your Holy Spirit speaking through us. So I just ask you to touch everyone's heart who was here listening to this message on this call, as well as those who listened to the recording, Lord. Just let them all feel and hear your word, Lord, that applies to their life, take this message and know that you are speaking to them. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for covering. We thank you that you continue to protect us, Lord. You continue to put a hedge of protection around everyone, Lord, who's involved in this ministry. And as they go out to minister to others, Lord, protect those people too, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. This is your kingdom, Lord, is going to grow through us, Lord. We all have a purpose, and he has a plan for us. I thank you for this day, Lord. You to just give everyone peace and joy as they leave this call, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In your holy Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone, and a great week.
All right.
Bye.
God bless you.
God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.